Everyone can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the November 17th regular meeting of the Alloway Village Board. I'm happy to see that there's a lot of attendance tonight. That must mean that you want to talk to us about something. So that's outstanding, as always. Is there a... So I'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
President Gass is here. Trustee Dark.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
Not my neck sore, because I had to spin it around. I talked to her earlier. All present and accounted for, is there a motion to either modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Trustee Harris.
Move to adopt as presented.
There is a second. Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion or agenda is adopted. Announcements. The budget hearing for next year's Village of Alloway annual budget will be November 24, 2015 at 6:30 p.m. right here at the Village Hall. So we welcome you to come and participate in that process. And it's probably one of the most important things that we do, since that's how we determine how best to, at least in our estimation, how to spend the taxpayers' money. So please feel free to attend the budget hearing. Any other board announcements? Madam Clerk? Staff announcements. Mr. Barron.
Just a reminder that tomorrow evening at all the Leopold School at 5 o'clock will be the Riverside Drive Project public information meeting. That will be the last one in the series. Scheduled from 5 o'clock, start at 5 o'clock or a few minutes after 5, and to be finished by 7 o'clock.
All right, thank you. Any other staff announcements? Hearing none, we will... Then move to item number 4 on the agenda, which is the public appearance section. Anyone may speak and address the board on any issue that you so choose. The board, however, can only take action on those items that are designated as action items on the agenda. If there are people here for item number 7, the petition from Quick Trip, the site plan review, I'd ask that you hold your comments until we get to that item on the agenda. That way we can have a discussion, you know, when it's up on the board agenda. So anything other than Quick Trip. Anyone wish to address the board during the public appearance section? Mr. Matuzic?
No.
No?
I'm going to get the 7. I'll be there.
All right. I figured you'd had something to say sooner or later. Anybody else? Ma'am? Oh, if you could come in up to the podium and state your name and address for the record, please.
Can we make a comment regarding the state sales tax?
Nope.
Time? Okay.
That's coming up, too. And then you're welcome to make all the comments you want, because that is a designated agenda item, so we'll have that discussion there. Anyone else wish to address the board on anything other than the excess stadium tax or Quick Trip? All right, hearing none, we'll close that section of the agenda. Oh, there was somebody? Ma'am. Oh, you got to come up here. If anyone ever wants any really interesting listening, we do tape record all of the meetings, so that's why we have to have people come to the podium. Could you please state your name and address?
Rosa Walchek, 361 St. Mary's Boulevard. I would like to address our street. It's a disaster. It was not done well. There's rocks all over the street. You trip. Snowplows are going to come. We're going to have that all in our lawns. It's a mess. When will it be finished?
Mr. Barrett, when is that on the schedule? At least the current schedule.
Right at this time, it's actually several years out. It's not a firm schedule yet. We're working on the schedule for street improvements for years 2 through 5. So we don't have a definitive year.
We have been having discussions, ma'am, at the public works level, particularly due to Trustee Rafter has brought that street to our particular attention. So we're looking at ways to perhaps make adjustments.
May I ask why you would start a project like that if you're not going to finish it? It's ridiculous. It's going on in 3 months. It's awful. It's just plain dangerous. It really is.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wish to address the board during the public appearance section of the agenda? Right. Hearing none, we will close that section of the agenda. Item number 5, seeking public input regarding the use of excess stadium sales tax. As many of you might be aware, the legislature just passed some legislation that would return to Brown County municipalities excess stadium tax revenues that were received by the state. It's anticipated that the Village of Alloway will receive approximately $719,000 from the state. Now, we are limited in how we can utilize those funds. We can use it for debt reduction. We can use it for property tax relief, or we can use it for what's called economic development, which is a fairly broad subject, but those are the only three things we can use it for. So we're expecting, well, I don't know when we're going to receive the money, but we're expecting to receive the money at some point in the foreseeable future. So the board's already charged the different committees within the village to look at that issue, come up with some ideas. So village committees have done that, village staff's looking into that and keeping a running list of different possibilities. And what we wanted to do was open it up to the public to get your input because that's a sizable amount of money. And it's rare in this day and age. Pardon me?
And there are more chairs.
Oh. Hey, could somebody locate some additional chairs? So in this day and age of very tight budgets and limited revenue and decreasing revenue from the state in many instances, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for us to take on and to do some things that are creative and may not come around for a long time when we have that kind of funding available. So I will open it up to the public if anyone wants to address the board on that. Trustee Harris.
I just wanted to add one thing in that I don't think we'll be limited to a one certain way of spending the money. We could split it amongst different things, so the more ideas that come to our attention, the more we'll be able to review them and see how we can split them. It doesn't have to all be debt reduction, it doesn't have to all be property tax relief or economic development. Just wanted to make sure that was pointed out to the group in attendance tonight.
Nope, that's a very good point, and as we hear the discussion and get the input from the public this evening, it won't be a done deal for a long time or for a while. So if you come up and you go home and you go to bed and you come up with a great idea tomorrow, let the village staff know, village administrator Lang or through the village website. We'll be taking all the ideas we can get because at some point we'll have to sit around a table and look at all of the ideas, so we want as many as possible. Man. Yep. Yes, name and address, please.
Jody Van Diver, 709 East Alloway Avenue. I would like to see that money go to first property tax relief, second debt reduction, third anything else. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wish to, sir?
Roger Retzloff, 209 West Whitney Street. I'm a member of the Planning Commission. I made this comment at our last Planning Commission meeting, but I wanted to press the need for it on the board tonight because it's an issue that has held down Alloway, I feel, for quite some time. And one of the big issues is we need technical assistance to accomplish this problem, and the cost of doing that has been an obstacle in the past. So I suggest that a significant portion of the surplus tax rebate funds be devoted to engaging a consultant of national recognition to update and reform our zoning code. In Plan Commission, we have been discussing for more than a few years how the zoning code no longer supports the vision of the community as stated in the Village Comprehensive Plan. We have two separate reports identifying the general issues, one of which is the recently approved corridor study. The Village has adopted a number of other reports and studies complementing the vision, but the one legal instrument governing physical development remains an antiquated, isolated, and unhealthy zoning code. It has excessive yard, parking, and setback requirements, inadequate allowances for multi-story structures and mixed-use occupancies, and does not provide for active means of transportation. It does not respect a pedestrian environment. In its current form, with respect to the physical form of Alloway and the potential for prosperous redevelopment, the zoning code to Rails becoming the sort of community we want to be. The evidence of this may be seen in recent site plan review and plan development district applications proposing low-grade developments and unattractive building. Public opposition to these proposals is another indicator of disconnect. Even recent development of apartments, elder care facilities, and single-family housing seem to drag down the character and interactive potential of the community rather than moving toward the people-focused principles of the comprehensive plan. It is especially hard for residents to easily go places in Alloway where they may enjoy the activity of being with other people. The types of developers we want to bring to the community who will be able to make our TIF program viable will be confounded by the zoning requirements, land use provisions, poor proximities, and lack of transportation options. Engaging an urban design and architecturally experienced consultant with a national reputation to reshape our zoning code and help us redefine our land use goals is a vitally important way to devote windfall monies. Improving development potential, it will improve development potential taxable property and limit debt exposure through the TIF program. Such a group will help us establish a public involvement process for codifying our community expectations. They will help us prepare guidelines to preserve the qualities of the village everyone likes while providing a means to realize the vision we have for improvement, leading to a more flexibility and opportunity for residents. It will lead Alloway to becoming a vibrant, uniquely hopeful place where people like to be with one another, a place where people want to live, work, and play together.
Thank you, Mr. Retzlaff.
Thank you.
Ma'am.
I'm Valerie Hutchison from 812 Derby Lane. My suggestion is first that it be property tax relief, because after all, those monies did come from the citizens, and mainly because the citizens would not have a say exactly in where that money would go. Also, in any case, the citizens should have a mailer to every household so that they could vote, not a committee, not any committee, of people that are picked to decide where the money goes. It is the citizens' money, so the citizen should choose. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else, sir?
I'm Kurt Byler of 511 Beaupree. I'm not in favor of any tax relief for tax credit. I don't think we need another 20 or 30 bucks per household. I'd be in favor of something tangible, maybe with parks and recreation, like maybe not enough for a swimming pool, but I would be in favor of an ice rink with a nice warming house, or something to do with parks or recreation or pedestrian or bicycle transportation.
Thank you, sir. Sir. Good evening, Mr. Zeller.
Good evening. Paul Zeller, 3228 Bitters Court. Good to see all of you. I just want to take this opportunity to provide some input, but I want to provide the input in the context of a story. Last month, I had a chance to take some municipal accounting training as provided by the County's Association. And the teacher, the educator, was the finance director for Langley County. And after several hours of fund accounting instruction, he brought something up that was pretty surprising to me in the municipal world. He told me that by 2017, Langley County will have no general outstanding debt. No debt. So from 2017 on, they will be able to fund all of their capital improvements, all of their operations, all of their road constructions through their general operating budget. So just imagine if the village of Alloway had no debt. So my request to you is to a specific request to allocate $500,000 of the excess tax revenue to debt reduction. And I'm sensitive to the property tax relief request as well. But through the years I've always felt that there needs to be some means of jump starting that development at the old Village Hall site. So once the village put into place the TID, I thought that would do it. But I believe that it's going to take a specific investment in that project, and it's a gem. It's just a gem waiting to be developed. So I would ask you to consider allocating some of the funds to the that TIF district, and specifically to that old Village Hall site, to generate some type of development there as an ideal site for multifamily or for apartment or senior housing. It just needs some type of a kickstart. So in an allocation of $200,000 or $100,000, I would ask you to consider that, and thanks for the chance to provide the input tonight.
All right, thank you. Anyone else on the tax rebate? Mr. Matuzak.
Hi, I'm Matuzak, 20th Katie, Southwester. First of all, thanks to the board for having us here tonight. And it's nice of me to see so many people here, even though I don't agree with all of them. First off, I think you're already following what I would suggest is you do nothing immediately. Find out where you're at. Wait till the money is in your hand, then review the rules, and then start making decisions. It would be nice after I finish or sometime before if you could relate and review for us what recommendations you already received before tonight. Because the only ones I've heard, I'm strong opposition to. We do not need our name on our water tower. We know where we're at. We have signs.
Well, if we put your name on the water tower, Pardon? We'll put your name on the water tower.
No, I don't. I'm going to have some discussion. And the first thing, and Paul Zell and I did not talk beforehand, but I agree with him. $500,000 toward debt retirement. Maybe $200,000 toward the road fund, road reconstruction, where the public works director wants to beef that up a little bit, and whatever's left, maybe for economic development. Because I have a continuing difficulty why, after all the history of the village, we have such a big push for economic development. We are not a community at Schwaben or Rapier. We're a quiet residential community that provides basic good local services, and I don't think that's changed. I respectively disagree with Mr. Resloff with hiring a consultant to redo our zoning. Zoning code might need redoing, but we don't need somebody else telling us what our zoning needs. It's our community, our zoning. We have you people, we have executive staff that can provide input, we have residents, we have the Zoning Planning Commission. They can all provide input. We don't need an outsider to pay a lot of money. We've been using too many consultants already. This is our community. We should decide what we want to do. I personally like it the way it is, in spite of its warts, like we all have, personally. And I am interested in research. We want it to be something that has not been. I'd like to know who the we are, because I'm one of the we, and I'm not wanting to change some of the things that we have. This may have to cover my nose. Yeah, I get the feeling that in recent years we have a number of people, and certainly in a majority, I think are trying to make Alloway something that has never been, and I don't think I want to see it made something different. It's always been a nice community with its faults. You know, rezoning issues sometimes disagree with, because the board sometimes waivers on 198. We want more business. On the other hand, you're not friendly to the business community with a proposal, which will, I'll address that in item 7 when we get to it. That's about it for the moment. I reserve the right to come back if something triggers my mind.
Yeah, we will yield the floor to you when you want it.
Thank you very much.
Brad, do you have the running list? I mean, just some ideas that we've heard percolate up from some of the committees and from staff and from some very preliminary board dialogue. If it hasn't changed, I got it.
Yep. It hasn't changed. Economic development is going through and adding some of the thoughts. But
yeah, just a couple of very preliminary ideas. And no decisions have been made, and I agree with Mr. Matuszek. We're going to take our time, and we're not going to spend it until we actually have it, and then probably hold on to it for a while. And so this isn't going to be a quick process, and it's not going to be a knee-jerk process. We're going to get as many ideas as we can, and then consider them. But just some of the things that have already, you know, come up in discussions with staff and some of the committees: creation of a facade program for all businesses. Using the same criteria as the TIF program. Within the TIF district that the board has created, we created a facade improvement program for businesses to make their businesses look better, to make them more aesthetically pleasing and welcoming. But as the program exists right now, that program only applies within the TIF district, and not the whole villages within the TIF district. So that's one idea, to expand that program beyond the TIF district itself. Entrance signs on both the eastbound and westbound on-ramps near Webster and 172. We'll likely need some measure of DOT approval. Invest in the corner of St. Joseph and Webster per the corridor study. Home improvement loan grant type program. Marketing material for the property we wish to see developed. And maybe utilize some website resources for that. Once again, very broad concepts, incentives for development. I mean, that definitely needs to be flushed out a lot more. Small business loans and grants for startup businesses within the village. Additional mock-ups of proposed developments within the corridor study. Community-sensitive solutions for Webster Avenue and Riverside Drive. Complete the corridor study south of 172. Creating green space around businesses, landowners outreach program, business microloan program for small businesses, add the village or add Alloway to the water tower, purchase commercial property for redevelopment. These are just a few of the general ideas that have, you know, been added to a list, and the things that we're hearing tonight will be added to the list. And we're also waiting to receive some additional committee feedback. So those are a few things that are on the list right now. So anybody else on the tax rebate issue? Mr. Swayze.
You forgot your statue. You forgot your statue.
My name is Bill Swayze. I live at 1600 South Irwin. There have been some rather, I'll call them kind of glamorous ideas for using some of these funds. My idea is not very glamorous, but I think it's very practical. My recommendation as to where to spend the $719,000 tax refund is based in large part, on the following premise. Everybody in this village directly paid into that fund. Therefore, everybody in the village should benefit directly from the refund amount. I'm going to jump ahead of here a little bit. Somebody earlier not to denigrate anybody else's suggestions, but somebody earlier mentioned a swimming pool and an ice rink. I'm sure Alloway citizens, some of them, would really enjoy that, but I don't believe that that would, either of those more glamorous suggestions, would directly benefit everybody in the village that paid those taxes. For example, senior citizens aren't probably going to be going out and utilizing an ice rink. Folks that are handicapped may be able to benefit from the pool, but I think a lot of people probably would not. People who are struggling financially in the village, and I'm sure there are a number of them, given our economy and everything. Somebody mentioned something about what's $20 or $30 a month. If you're living on Social Security, it could be quite a bit for you. It might help you afford that medication that you now can't afford. A Green Bay friend of mine uses a lot of water. I cringe when I watch her wash dishes and the water just runs. I use very little water. Regardless, my monthly water bill is about the same as her quarterly water bill. In other words, I'm paying for Alloway water about three times, and probably even more, because I don't use very much water at all, than our counterparts in Green Bay. That is a burden on the people in Alloway, that high water bill. And why is that so high? A good part of it is the debt repayment for the construction of the water line to get the water here. Now, Alloway residents have been complaining for years about the high cost of their water bills. Considering these facts, I propose that the $719,000 in its entirety be applied in full to pay down the principal balance of the water pipeline construction debt. That subsequently, that debt be refinanced during this time of low interest rates, thereby reducing the water bills of everybody in the village, directly benefiting them for their stadium tax overpayment. Not glamorous, practical as hell. Everybody gets a piece of the action. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swayze. Anyone else wish to provide some input on the tax rebate issue? Sir.
Russ Holtzman, 1413 South Irwin. Just a quick, easy suggestion is sidewalks through the residential neighborhoods. As we try to walk through the neighborhoods, especially on the east-westbound streets like Garland, Hastings, so on and so forth, the cars are whipping through there at 40 miles. I know it's 25, but they're moving at 35, 40 miles an hour. We're trying to walk to church, to the park, to wherever, and we can't do that safely because when you've got two cars and you're trying to walk through, then there's another car rolling through. I mean, sidewalk to make it safer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to provide input to the board. Sir.
Jim Bowler, 214 Grass Street. I realize that property tax relief is a hot commodity, but I agree that I would like to see the entire thing go towards debt reduction. Property tax relief and infrastructure are, like I said, hot commodities, but I think by cutting down, by drastically reducing our interest payments, that down the road is going to free up considerable funding for whether it's property tax relief or infrastructure. I'm a runner, so I have an appreciation for roads and sidewalks that are in good and safe condition. But I'm also an accountant, so I appreciate a tight balance sheet. That's my feeling on that.
Great. Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
I just want to add one comment. We already gave one 44 away. We certainly don't want another one.
So noted, Mr. Medusa. Sir.
Bill Klein, 3120 Wapner. I've heard tonight lots of really good ideas. The water one especially hits home, and the tax reduction. However, what I haven't heard, if I'm a saver, I haven't heard any comments about putting the money aside for a crisis situation. In other words, saving some permanently, not for a year, not for 2 years, but save it. Maybe not all of it by any means, but I really think we should put something away for a crisis. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, sir. Ma'am.
Cameron McLean, 100 Rosemont Drive. I think that Alloway has a unique opportunity because it is only just over five square miles, and it has a history that dates back to the 1600s. I think that in the past it has been a quiet community and not really self-promoting enough. And I think now with the stadium project underway and what Green Bay is working on and Bellevue, I think that if we don't do something to promote ourselves, we may just be lost in the shuffle. So my recommendation would be to spend at least some of the money, probably a small portion of the money, on promoting the village as the unique community that it is, whether that be to businesses or to residents. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other input concerning how best to utilize the funds that we expect to receive? Going once, going twice. Oh, Trustee Raffer.
I've received a few calls today asking me to, from folks who won't be able to be here tonight. And the following people: Gene Wagner from St. Mary's Boulevard, Edith Townsend from St. Mary's Boulevard, Mary Neville from St. Mary's Boulevard, are all in agreement with Mrs. Walchek that...
From St. Mary's Boulevard.
From St. Mary's Boulevard. Of the need for, and several emails that many of us have received on improving the infrastructure, using some of that money to improve the infrastructure of our roads.
Anything else?
I'm Gene Wagner. Hello,
Gene. Oh, sure. We're
I lived at St. Mary's Boulevard since 1982. It's a wonderful street. There's every person has a dog, locks it. It's a very accommodating place to walk down the street and enjoy itself. When I moved in there in 1982, it looks the same as it does now. I kept thinking, well, eventually it's going to change. It has to, you know, it just has to. It never did. Now, I know you people watch our tax dollars very much, and that's why I live in alleyway, because you all do a terrific job in that. But I would think that over 30-some years, that some improvement would have... It reminds me when they built the street, is if I cut my lawn only halfway and leave the other half of the lawn up. I don't know what the reasoning or what the concept behind all that was for that long of a time. I don't understand it. I don't know if it's politics or what's going on. I know you people watch budgets. You know, it's important. And that's why I love Alloway, and I'll never move out of it. So, out of there. But it's something really you should consider because of the time that we have to suffer in that street for that long. There's other streets that get improved, you know, probably they should be, you know. But I really think it should take top precedence at some form or another. So I thank you for your time, and thank you, Mr. Rafter. I appreciate your comment before I got you. I was a little late. I'm sorry.
Teed it up.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Yeah, there were a few additional emails that the villages received, rather short, you know, fix the streets, you know, which I think we've heard a little bit. And the village, in terms of street repair, you know, has done a much, much better job over the course of the last 5 or 6 years or 8 years. I think I've been on the board for 9. There was a lot of neglect of that area for a long time. And we've prioritized things, and we've come up with a workable plan, and we have incurred debt because of it, because you can't do streets without incurring debt. And we've heard loud and clear that many of you want to see some debt reduction as part of this process. But we have been very aggressive, and sometimes it's not just the condition of the street that dictates priority. Oftentimes it's what's under the street or what's next to the street, you know, in terms of sewer and water that needs to be replaced. So sometimes you'll see some streets that get repaired and you wonder why, you know, St. Mary's or St. Joseph's in certain spots too. People look at things and they go, well, why is that street getting repaired? I mean, clearly it looks better than maybe St. Joseph or St. Mary's. But oftentimes it's because, you know, we have to fix, you know, water issues or sewer issues. So there's multiple things that drive priority on the list. But getting back to this, fix the streets was one of them. The other one about how about giving it back to the homeowners who built their home and don't spend it, return it. So we'll definitely add all those things to the ongoing list. Anyone else wish to be heard and provide input on this particular subject? Mr. Retzlaff.
I've heard a lot of interesting ideas, but I think what will be most important to the community will be an explanation by the board of the methodology you use to make decisions on, you know, how you assess these ideas and what you do to make your decisions of how the money is to be implemented in the village budget. I think we see a lot of more community support and interest in how things are being run, and I think they are owed, you know, that kind of explanation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And the board will be very cognizant to give explanations, and trust us, whenever these decisions start getting winnowed down and we start getting to a handful that's up for serious discussion, all of the meetings will be public. None of this stuff happens in closed session. There is no reason to go into closed session. You can't go into closed session, and you won't go into closed session. So when these issues, you know, come up for further board deliberation, they'll always be on a public agenda. And we may have some additional listening sessions as we get closer to a more winnowed down list and a list that has actually some substance to it rather than just some general parameters or general concepts. Anybody else wish to be heard? All right. Hearing none, I will close that section of the agenda. If I can find my agenda. Item number 6, request, and thank you all very much for your input. And like I said, keep sending it. You know, if it's not at a public meeting, send it by email. We got a few, and we talked a little bit about them tonight. So I want to thank everybody for that participation. Item number six, request from Langley PTO to park on the north side of Broadview and on the east and west Kenwood Circle during their Party Gras fundraiser from 4 to 8 on March 10 of 2016. It's a routine request, happens every year, never a problem, great organization. Do I have a motion concerning granting the request? Trustee Rappler. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Request granted. Item number seven on the agenda. Action regarding the petition from Quick Trip for the site plan review on parcel AL-875, located at 1401 South Webster Avenue. I will suspend the rules in short order to allow the public to comment on this site plan request of the board. Just as a prefatory comment, the board can't deny it. I mean, this is a site plan review in terms of what it's going to look like and how we can make it look and feel as best we can. But the board can't say no because it's zoned for a gas station and used to be a gas station and was a gas station for many years. Hasn't been in the recent history, but it is zoned properly. I mean, some might confuse when the board denied Quick Trip's request to go on the diocesan property. We had that privilege because they had to request a rezone and get it rezoned. And the board wasn't going to go there because we thought at that point in time there was a better use for that property than a Quick Trip. So we had some discretion in that decision and that analysis. But we don't have that discretion or we just can't say no. It's zoned properly for the contemplated use. I guess I should look at staff. Have I misstated anything in that regard? I think I'm right.
You're right.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm right. I should ask that before I say that, and then I'll know I'm right. So that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about what the plan looks like. You know, could it look better? And to receive some public input on that. But the board's being asked to approve the site plan design. And as I understand it, at least from the memo and the documents I looked at, that the staff recommendations and concerns have all been adopted in the current version of the plan.
There are a few additional. I think it's items number H2E, maybe. There was an email I sent to you. You are the representative. I've been working with the Bridgeford. Three small minor things. One was a plant species in the site triangle, which Quick Trip said they would address. The other was trash pickup, and Quick Trip acknowledged that. And then providing a detail
of the fence.
And Quick Trip said they would detail that in their discussion today.
Well, I know I've had an opportunity to look at the different communications that have been going back and forth between the village staff and Quick Trip. And Quick Trip, you know, has been very responsive, and they've been, you know, good partners to work with, and they've made a number of changes, you know, that have been requested by the village. So they've been working in very much good faith, I think, in working through concerns and ordinance issues and simply aesthetics in a lot of ways. And one of the issues that Trevor just alluded to was maybe put a different kind of tree or different species in there because we have some concerns. So they've been it's been a good cooperation so far on both sides. So unless I hear any objections, I will suspend the rules so that the public can comment. Trustee Harris,
just as we enter into the discussion part of it, I'll need to recuse myself from this particular agenda item.
Okay, understood. All right, we'll open it up to the public for input on Quick Trip's request and their site plan and what it looks like and what it feels like, and we're willing to entertain any comments or input that the public has in those regards, in those respects. Mr. Matusik. Let the record reflect that Trustee Harris has recused himself and is leaving the village meeting.
Harrison, 2689 South Lewis Drive. That you explain to the people here that it's not a zoning issue and you don't have much choice except to make additional demands. And I think Quick Trip runs a good show. It met all the criteria that the board has demanded or the village has demanded. So I don't think you have a great deal of choice. But just type your history lesson again. That area north of that railroad bridge, when I moved here in 1968, I think it was for sure there was 5 filling stations there. It might have been 6. At that time, our population was virtually identical. I'm sure there were a lot fewer vehicles. At that time, Alloway had 9 service stations. We now have 3. So I don't think it's going to be overkill to have another service station, even if you ultimately approve that one on Riverside Drive as well. And besides, I like the bananas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matuzak. Anyone else from the public? Ma'am.
My name is Jessica Willis. I live at 1033 Garland Street. My neighbors and I all understand that the Quick Trip is going to be there, and we're okay with that. We do have one main concern, and I did send you all an email. Thanks for your response. We're worried about a privacy issue resulting from headlights that will be shining into the second story and first story living spaces in our homes. There's about 7 or 8 homes that will be directly affected. Mostly on Garland Street, many of the homes that face Quick Trip, so the south-facing homes, and then there's one directly across the alley. This is a picture from my bedroom window of the proposed site, and I believe this comes as a bit of a privacy issue as well with the city ordinances, the village ordinances. We would like Quick Trip to please build a privacy barrier on the east and north corner of the property as much as possible so that we can prevent headlights from turning in and flashing through our bedroom bell evening. And I realize that they plan to close at 10 o'clock. However, there's still 5 hours of dark in the winter. And I know that does not prevent people from pulling in during the night, turning around in the parking lot, whether it's closed or not. We did have a couple of other issues, and I think that those are addressed in the village ordinance as well, as far as noise with emptying garbages and delivery trucks during the nighttime hours. That's been a problem in our area before with the garbage trucks primarily. It wakes us up quite frequently, but I know that's an ordinance, and so that's something they'll have to adhere to. So if you could please make note that we would greatly appreciate some kind of a privacy fence or barrier. Did anybody want a copy of the email I had sent with the 3 concerns we have?
Yes, please. That way we can make part of the record.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I see the photograph, too?
You may have it. I have 2 copies if you're interested.
I'll scan it and send it to them. Thank you.
And just so you know, if you're getting woken up by trash trucks in violation of the ordinance, please let us know, because the village reaches out to, and usually it's when they have a new driver on, we found in other neighborhoods, including mine, and then also down by Windermere. I mean, we've had quite a few.
Okay.
So let us know, because Brad's been fantastic at taking care of those and letting them know that they're in violation of the noise ordinance, because you should have put up with that on
a regular basis. Yeah, it's pretty early. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any comments or input?
Joey Van Diver, 709 East Alloway Avenue. I just want to say that I support a Quick Trip in general. Like Mr. Matuzak, I like the grilled cheese.
Any other public comment or ma'am?
I'm Leslie Landry. I live at 1027 Garland Street. I just purchased my home in July, so I was a little disappointed to hear, not that I don't love Quick Trip, that it was going to be in my front yard, basically. So I agree with my neighbors about having this retaining wall put up that would kind of block the comings and goings of cars. I know my dogs are going to have a conniption when they see all this coming and going of people and cars. that I feel like I'm going to have to blacken out my windows just to keep some peace in my house. So I agree with putting up a fence or some type of a stone wall or something that would kind of block the noise and the cars, the lights, the traffic. That would be my suggestion.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Somebody in the back. Ma'am.
Hi, I'm Valerie Hutchison from 812 Derby Lane. I just have a comment, and, you know, I'm on Derby. I don't have near the problems from it. I won't that the people from Garland have, and I sure hope you won't approve a site plan without what they need to maintain their privacy. But I just want to agree with you, Mr. Guest, when you said that Quick Trip is just not in keeping with the hometown feel you have envisioned for Alloy. You were quoted in the paper when they wanted to build at 1910, I believe the address is Webster, and wasn't in keeping with the, you know, walking neighborhoods, which is what I thought I was coming when I bought my house on Derby 3 years ago. I heard sidewalks and streetlights are coming, and I'm hopeful that those things will come. But I do agree with you that Quick Trip, when you said Quick Trip, certainly engenders heavy traffic. I think you're right there too. And I am disappointed that the zoning wasn't ever changed. You know, that this is allowed to happen. I don't know how many pumps, if that's an issue, if that's something that maybe would help the flow of traffic, if that's something. I know in other municipalities I've lived in, if a board did not want a particular business, they really were able to, whether zoning was such. I've seen boards be able to keep, you know, just by the process of, you know, this is not in keeping, can you keep it down to two pumps or whatever, and you have to build this wall so these people don't have you driving, you know, into their bedrooms practically. And maybe a business would need to go elsewhere. Anyway, that's how I feel about it. I'm disappointed. And I hope maybe we'll see some rezoning of the plot across the street that's still zoned highway. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else wish to? Ma'am.
I'm Tricia Nolan from 1019 Garland Street. My house would be directly across the street from the Quick Trip entrance. It would be facing my living room windows, my front yard. I think it's a big privacy issue for those of us that live along Garland Street there and along the alley. The traffic right now on Derby Lane, Webster, and Garland is horrendous. Nobody wants to cross there or has such a difficult time in crossing there. And I think the upflow in traffic from the gas station that would be there is something that you people really need to take a look at. Maybe a traffic study for that area. I think that was in Jessica's email that she sent to you as well. And I have to agree with her as far as that goes, and also the privacy wall. I'm going to be looking directly at that building. I mean, it's right there. And those people that want bananas and hamburgers, hey, go to Green Bay, because I don't want bananas and hamburgers in front of my yard. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Ma'am.
Mary Langhoff, 1420 South Irwin. I live around the corner from Quick Trip. I would be within walking distance with a cane. If that's something the village wants us to be able to participate in, that's someplace I could walk to and pick up a few groceries. I think as far as privacy issues, we all have privacy issues. People driving down the street, the lights on next door in the driveway, you know, their garage lights on coming into my window, I pull the shade. You know, I think there's things we can take care of for ourselves. We live in an urban area. There's going to be urban things that we need and can help with our tax base and can help with our overall quality of living. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir.
Al Tilden, 419 Dalton Street. I do hope that a Quick Trip does come. We need a tax base in this village. And hopefully it comes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I thought I saw a hand up. Ma'am.
I'm Forrest, and I live at 1413 South Irwin Avenue, and I think that the Quick Trip is a good idea so that I can walk out and get groceries, eggs, donuts, and I won't have to cross the street to get to Super Value. That will be easier.
Thank you, young man.
Mel Holterman, 1413 South Irwin Avenue. I've been a resident of Alloway for 38 years. The past 6 years have left me concerned, discouraged, and hopeless in regards to Alloway's future. The last village meeting I attended was upsetting, seeing grown adults hackling and disrespecting a business owner because of fear and selfishness. In Alloway, people helped each other out. That doesn't seem to be the atmosphere anymore. We're bawling each other out, using up valuable resources and time. Alloway was once seen as a welcoming community, and now neighboring communities, fellow residents, and businesses see it as Snivelville. I've had people tell me this. I assumed that liquor, who you knew, tattoos, how long you've lived here, pedophiles, greed, and sniveling looked like it was going to be Alloway's future. Today, though, I have hope, because a business that pays its employees a livable wage, a company that treats employees with respect, and a company that has displayed morals like integrity and honesty, a company that is very selective and conscientious about where it builds and why it builds, a company that will be a good neighbor, is looking to build here in Alloway. We should take that as a compliment and not as a threat. This gives me hope. They must see, well, I can no longer see. I've been here for 38 years. I lost hope in this community. This business that's prosperous wants to build here. They see something I don't see anymore. I pray that all of us that live here and die here can set aside our differences and concerns to see the potential that they see. I don't know about the board, but I know that I would much rather have a company like Quick Trip looking to build an alleyway than I would want another tattoo parlor, a bar, a place that surface services liquor, and more pedophiles. And most of all, I don't want to see empty abandoned buildings anymore. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And if we pass this, you get to get donuts every other day. No, I just want to thank the young man again. It takes a lot of courage to stand in front of that many people and give your opinion. So, well done. All right, anyone else want to address the board, sir?
Russell's been 1413 South Irwin. Just another kick at that dead horse. If we're going to put the quick trip in, and I think it's a great idea, and we're going to have people walking up and down. I go back to the sidewalk issue again and the traffic on Garland and Hastings.
like I said, they're moving too fast, whether that's an enforcement issue or if a stop sign can go up down on Irwin and Hastings down there to slow things down, whatever it takes. But with the increased traffic, I just want our kids to be able to walk up to school and to the parks without having to worry about getting smacked coming around the parked car.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Mr. Barron, can you put that on the next Public Works? Because that's an excellent point. You know, if assuming that Quick Trip is authorized, that is going to change or increase traffic patterns and flows. So Public Works should get ahead of that and start looking at that issue. So we'll put that on the next agenda for discussion. All right, any other public comment? I will allow our... You guys from Quick Trip? I saw you making notes. If you want to make a presentation to the board, and maybe if you could maybe focus a little bit on, you know, the one thing I heard tonight is, you know, privacy issues and privacy walls and that kind of concept. Maybe if you could at least focus part of your presentation on that issue.
Absolutely.
And I know where Clarence lives. If I see empty banana boxes at his curb, we'll have an issue.
I want you to know I do not know these gentlemen. I sat next to my
Well, we appreciate the support. My name is Brian Novy. This is Bjorn Berg. We're here representing Quick Trip. Our address is 1626 Oak Street in La Crosse, Wisconsin, zip code 54602. We're here, obviously, to speak on behalf of Quick Trip for the proposed development plan tonight. It sounds, to your point, we worked hard with the committees here in the village of Alloway, with the city staff to try to make sure that we were, you know, doing everything that we could to meet code and to take care of the residents' concerns. So some of those things I'm going to have Bjorn touch base with right now. He was really working with the planning department here and can further talk about some of those things that we did here.
So in general, we have proposed a Quick Trip Express store, which is a smaller footprint store than what a normal store is. Still has all of the commodities that you're used to seeing at Quick Trip. And we have proposed three gas pumps underneath the canopy. And we'll offer two kinds of fuel, unleaded and premium gas, no diesel. And our deliveries will be made at the east side. No, it's actually the west side of the building. You can see a hatched area there where the diagonal paint, the truck will pull in and then back up parallel to Webster to make the deliveries. And those will only happen once a day, every other day, typically. It obviously depends on sales. And the fuel deliveries will also happen there next to the road, so they won't be down by the residential areas to the east. Our refuse is at the east of the building, and that is per the ordinance, so that it is screened from public view from the street. That is one of the changes we made from the Planning Commission meeting. And one of the other things that we are going to address is some of the stormwater issues that are on the site currently. And really, there's quite a few problems with the property today, and we are going to resolve a lot of those, in fact, all of them. The retaining wall to the south, to the adjoining property, will be rebuilt. We'll have to get a temporary construction easement to work on the property to do the work. But we will rebuild that and then fix all that so that it is functional and aesthetic. And then the big bold line along the east and north sides of the property will also be the same sort of material. It's a large block, if you will. It sort of looks like big Legos, but they're aesthetic. They look like brick. In fact, I can pull it up and show you.
I think we got it. There was a copy of it in here.
Well, and just a quick question, why you have this one up? That retaining wall on the south side, the current retaining wall went a little further to the west. You're able to slope off and not need one quite as far?
Yes, just with the grades that are there. In fact, if you walked out there today, you could almost step over the wall, and if you think about it, you could stand there and your feet would be level. So the grades are the same, but the wall sticks up. So we don't necessarily have to rebuild the wall. If there's a problem with not having a physical barrier between the two parcels, we could certainly put up a fence or something like that.
Nope, more worried about stormwater runoff. So as long as you guys are taking care of that and stays on your property.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, we can
address that. Because you're right, stormwater's a mess.
Yes, it is. It's not pretty. So this is the product that we propose to use as a retaining wall block, and I'll scroll through this and see. It comes in a variety of colors. We'll most likely use something that is similar to this image, just due to the colors of our store. So that's that piece of it. I'll bring the plans back up. It sounds like the neighbors, and I totally understand their point of view on the headlights. And we have on this plan proposed a fence to the east. What we can do, and Trevor, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not an ordinance thing. This is a neighborly thing to do. And in the past, we have always been accommodating to those requests from neighbors. And we want to be a good neighbor. That's who we are as a company. So we are as people. We try to put ourselves in their shoes as well and understand that if I was living there, I wouldn't want headlights shining in my bedroom either. So we will build a fence, and we are willing to extend it at least so that the neighbors to that east side aren't having those headlights come through. Most likely we will go from where the trash enclosure is by the building, clear around until we get up to where the retaining wall heads to the west, or up on the plan. And it's not a huge expense for us, and like I said, it's something that we like to do to keep everybody happy and be able to sleep at night, literally. So does the board have any questions for us?
Trustee Raffer.
How tall do you see that fence being, Bjorn?
We have it proposed as 6 feet. So hopefully there's no vehicles that have headlights above 6 feet.
I noticed in the plans there was a row of trees added on Garland Street. And landscaping?
Yes. They're actually bushes, I believe.
Oh, they're bushes. Okay.
Yeah, they're shorter bushes.
Block the light.
Well, I think now, just due to some of the public concern, we'll probably extend the fence a ways, and then just as an aesthetic thing, we will do some landscaping along the garden side there.
Okay.
It is noted on the landscaping plan. Unfortunately, the plans that I printed off, it doesn't show it graphically, but there is a note there that says that there's a shrub that's about, it's probably shorter than this podium. Small shrubs.
In keeping with the good neighbor theme, and I appreciate that, and I'm familiar with some other locations that you've built that you have done that, so I know you guys are a stand-up organization. But to address the concern about the headlights and any headlights being above 6 feet, I think the concern that you had, and I forgot your name, I'm sorry, is the elevation there. So 8 feet might not even be enough to deflect those headlights. I'm sure you've been on that site, you've walked it, but maybe take a picture of that scan that Debbie's going to scan you know, take a look at it and just walk to that site and just kind of maybe address that to see that it is. Mm-hmm. In keeping with that theme of being a good neighbor, I think that would be a nice gesture.
Sure.
For you guys to do.
Yes, and just one other thing. In order to make the site accessible, which we have to do per the accessibility standards that Wisconsin has adopted, which is for people that are handicapped, essentially, we have to have the grading on the site at a certain slope, and it's usually 2% in any cross direction and 5% in the path of your travel. So in order to do that, we have to regrade a lot of the site, which is the reason for the big, huge retaining wall. And it's not, it's going to be bigger than what's there now. So it's, you're going to have a somewhat tall retaining wall with a fence on top of it, if that makes sense, on the alley side there. So you'll see the retaining wall. I don't know the exact heights of it. It's between probably 6 and 8 feet tall, and then a 6-foot fence on top of that. Okay. Versus what's there today, which is sloping grass, and then a short little retaining wall that's been there for probably 50, 60 years.
Let's see, Robert. Shape.
Bjorn, you had mentioned that before the garbage cans or trash containers were elsewhere on your plants.
Yes.
Where were they before?
They were to the north, to the, well, that'd be the west, or the top of the plant, next to the road, which was a violation of the ordinance.
Even if you had it enclosed, it would be a violation of the ordinance?
Yes, the ordinance reads that it needs to be screened from view by the primary structure.
And behind, it says behind the structure.
And then a brick, or stone, or block.
So if it's, I thought it said it was needed to be behind the structure. So it's behind, not behind?
Behind from the main road.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So on the opposite side of the building from the main road, which would be Webster.
Okay. Is that the case? I trust you, but is that our understanding as well?
Right. Okay. Screen from view from the primary road is what happens.
Okay.
Any other board questions? Yes, he does.
On the north side of the property, there where the dark line is, directly opposite that, are there homes directly opposite that portion, you know, we were talking about the landscaping?
Yes, I believe there are. Is there one behind the, what is it, is it a Mexican restaurant or something? Mm-hmm. Is there one home there between the alley? I'm not sure if there's one or two. I think there's one.
And the residents probably know better than we will, and I'm just curious if that fence will block the light into their homes, or if that needs to be, if someone actually needs to go out there with a light unit and shine it from approximately 8 feet or 6 feet or whatever you need to do to make sure that there is blockage so it doesn't go into their home. And that's something that sounds silly and basic, but I think it's something that really does need to be addressed. And I realize you're doing this in addition, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you'll be getting business out of it too. And happy to hear.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and it's not in relation to the site plan itself, but there was a member of the organization. You guys have been great. Mm-hmm. Brian, you guys, and I've heard wonderful comments about both of you and everything that you've done. Mm-hmm. However, there's another member of your organization who was somewhat less than cordial to the members of our staff as well as to the members of our commission. And in keeping with that need of good community awareness and communications and cooperation, I would hope that that person, and I think you know who I mean, would be aware that that was not appreciated. Now, somebody else might not say anything about it, I will.
Okay.
And if there is any future business between the village and Quick Trip and regards to other sites, I would hope that that person's attitude towards the people who we employ, as well as those volunteers and commission, is such that they recognize the value of their work and the quality of what they're trying to do in relation to business. Now, we appreciate you being here. We're glad you're here. But we're family, too.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Rafter.
Just one last question, and this is for the staff as well as you guys, on the site plan and design review for staff comments. It says, primary facades of principal structures must be parallel to primary street frontage. And then it says in parens, village board can grant variances based on site restraints. Please be able to explain restraints. Are we being asked to give a variance for this?
Yes. I don't know that it's a formal variance, is it, Trevor?
No, it can be part of this process, a formal appeal.
So one of the things that is a challenge is, number one, the grade of the site. So if the site was perfectly flat, we could certainly orientate the building so that it was parallel with Webster. But due to the grades on the site and the sloping of that whole corridor, as all of you know, it slopes down to the river, and it starts right there at Webster. We tried like five or six different site plans, and could not get it to lay out properly and to be safe if we orientated it that way.
Okay.
So that was our reason for orientating it perpendicular.
Okay.
We are going above and beyond the ordinance also on the exterior elevation on the Webster side to provide some false windows to make it look more like a building facade, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's the side of the building, we're dressing it up to try and make it look like it is the front of the building. And that was due to the Planning Commission request.
Yeah, I just want to make sure when we say, and not that I want to stop it, but when we say that there's nothing we can do, if you're asking for changes to our code or our ordinances or our any of our plans, we need to know that. That's all. So is that the only exception or variance to any of our code or ordinances that you're requesting?
Yeah.
Trevor?
There is one additional one, but it's pretty insignificant, and that's the EFIS material of the eaves part. I think the Planning Commission agreed that, and this might have been within the discussion of using the false windows and the six-panel door, indicated facing Webster. Our ordinance says brick all the way up,
okay.
But I think that's part of the trade-off, and EFIS is a great material in the way it's utilize some of the buildings in our village as well.
Okay.
Yes, the ordinance actually states a brick, stone, or split face block. So it was discussed with the Planning Commission that we could substitute the stone product with stucco, which appears to be stone, mm-hmm. but if you climbed up on a ladder and tapped on it, it's actually not stone. But from the street, it looks like stone.
Yep. And I think that looks nice. I'm sorry, could I bore you with one more question?
Absolutely.
It was the Public Works response. Craig, you had some concern about the phosphorus and the way that they're going to treat the stormwater.
Basically, you know, the last step in this process will be the stormwater permit, and that's where that will come into play. And like we've done on some other projects, what they requested was proceeding with the site plan approval and then doing the permitting after that. They've done the preliminary engineering for the stormwater management. If the site plan is approved, then the next step would be they'll file the formal permit application. We'll go through the modeling for the stormwater post-construction management. Since this is a relatively new project with the TMDL, it's a little more complicated in the modeling than what it has been in past projects because of both suspended solids and phosphorus. Mm-hmm. What we did do is we gave them the limits that we have to meet for the East River, which are more relaxed than the normal permit requirements, but what we have done with the DNR is we average the loading for the whole village, and so we gave them those numbers to use. And we'll have to go through the process of evaluating the process.
Okay, so we won't find out too late that the method of dealing with TMDL isn't sufficient, right?
No, and we have a fallback position here. There's really two things you have to do in stormwater management. One is you have to control the flow so that you dampen the peak flow to maintain the flow at the pre-construction site conditions. And they can do that with the structure that they're proposing. We have the option, because this is tributary to one of our stormwater treatment ponds, we can provide a portion of the treatment in our pond in what we call our fee in lieu of treatment program. So we have that fallback position. It'll probably be a combination of their treatment and our treatment. That's probably what it'll end up being.
Okay. The reason I ask, guys, is we spend a boatload of money on that stuff due to unfunded mandates.
Yes, we do it.
Trustee. And so I just wanted to make sure that we're watching that. Thanks.
Yes,
Thank you very much.
The current stormwater system, at least at the 75% level, which is where we're at with the civil design, does meet the requirements. We obviously have to go through the reviews and the permit application processes and that whole process. And I believe it's a contingency, correct? Trevor?
Right.
Yes. Us being able to get a building permit is contingent upon getting the stormwater permit approved.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes. Any other more questions? Trustee Green.
Okay. On that south side retaining wall, it looks like there's another set of mechanical. The one set towards the residence, looks like there is a structure around it. The side to the south, I assume there will be two?
We can put up a fence, yes.
Okay, good. And then, to your colleague, it was bad enough I was going to TF audio files tonight. So I would, for one, appreciate you guys dealing with the village just because of some of the interactions prior.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I know a lot of other people would, too. So thank you two very much for being good to work with.
Yeah. Thank you as well.
So we appreciate it.
Any other board questions or comments concerning the Quick Trip proposal? Trustee Dart.
I'd just like to comment. You have been very, very good to work with. I mean, the plan commission, it wasn't easy on you, and they were getting a lot of pushback from residents, and you addressed all the issues from the plan commission, and you went above and beyond to be neighborly. And there's some of those things that you're doing aren't required, so we appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board questions or comments concerning Quick Trip's proposal? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
With that finished, I will resume the rules. And I'll make a motion that the village board approve the site plan petition from Quick Trip as presented. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Green. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great addition to the village. I think Quick Trip, even when we had the diocese discussion, I mean, nobody for 1 minute thought that Quick Trip is not a top-notch, excellent organization. And I mentioned at that time, I go out of my way to find you people, you know, given a choice in the matter. So that particular parcel has been dilapidated for years. And I look forward to it being cleaned up and in a nice, clean business being in there so the young man can go get donuts every once in a while. And I also appreciated the comment about, you know, people being able to walk up there and get some groceries and not have to cross Webster. So there's so many good features to this. And if the board approves it, you know, with glad hands, we will welcome you to the village. I'm also very cognizant of the fact that there are some resident concerns, and I was very happy to hear that even though not required by our ordinances, that you're willing to go above and beyond, you know, the call of duty to be a good neighbor and fit within the community. So with those kinds of agreements to work with the neighbors and some shielding and to try to, you know, fit into the neighborhood as best you can, I'm very comfortable, you know, with this concept. I think it's great for the village. I think this is a good location for it. And that really was the issue for you and the Quick Trip people. The board just couldn't get its hands around that particular spot. You know, and I couldn't, and I wrestled with that because I would love to have seen a Quick Trip, you know, there, but I just wrestled with it and came to the conclusion that I'd like that to be more of a neighborhood gathering area and then a downtown area for the village, and I didn't see Quick Trip fitting into that plan, but I think it fit in really well here. So I'm fully in support. Any other more discussion? Hearing none. Was there a second? Yeah, there was a second. Motion made and seconded to approve the site plan petition from Quick Trip. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved. Good luck, gentlemen.
Thank
you. All right, item number 8, code enforcement report. Mr. Roberts, you have the floor. Oh. And thank you all for coming and giving us your input. Let the record reflect that Trustee Harris has rejoined the village board at 7:56 p.m. Mr. Roberts.
Hi, Mark Roberts, I'm your code coordinator, 1900 Michael Street. I guess some of the new board members had some questions about exactly what my position was here. I didn't make any copies, but I do have the Village Valley position description. I've got one copy if you guys like to look at or pass it through. But, it basically said, you know, I'm responsible for all the enforcement of all the codes in the Village Valley. Conduct field investigations and inspections to ensure compliance with all the ordinances, assist in development of ordinances, coordinate inspections of buildings requiring building inspector. If I see anything, I work with him to have him come out and check it out. Respond to any complaints from residents or any complaints they have that has involved ordinances. Maintain code violation records, files, supplies, and reports, which I send to you and to Public Works. Oversee and organize the cadet program, supervision of the crossing guards. Work with the Sheriff's Department on neighborhood watch program. Work for any safety concerns within the village. Let the board knows with any suggestions I have for anything concerning safety for the residents or crossing guards or ourselves. I've actually worked some security here in the building. I got some, I call it the panic button set up for the building in here, so if getting the ladies in front had a problem, they could hit a button. Lights flash throughout the building, so everybody in the building knows there's a problem up front. I was looking for some grants to probably get some security cameras for the buildings. That's some of the off stuff I do. Majority of my job basically is, as you see little green stickers all over the town for right now, is because of the brush. Unfortunately, Public Works, who I work real well with Public Works, that's a Jim Sigalski, who, since I'm not here on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays, when I do the violations and let him know that there's violations, he comes out Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and checks those violations for me. If they have to be, brush has to be picked up, he picks it up. And that's where the billing comes out, and he, you know, bills the residents for any of the violations that do require us to come out and do any work that we do bill. As far as cadets program, I do have, I didn't think about this either, I did put the, that's the manual, which John Flannery, when he was here as a DEO, started the cadet program. Unfortunately, he was going to come in and I talked to you about that, why he started it and what happened, but he's unfortunately in the Caribbean teaching the police academy course. Poor guy. But John started this, I don't know if you need to over here, when he started the program, and it was up under the Sheriff's Department, so he had a little bit more hand on it as far as police, policing these guys, getting them more into law enforcement, because they all go through the police academy. When I came in 5 years ago, Tracy and Steve asked if I could possibly restart the program again since I had a law enforcement background. So I got with John Flannery and started the program again, got the cadets back up, not to the extent of what he was running it for, because some of the things in there we can't run, like sex offenders program. They had to drop that way down because he was doing a lot more where they go out and actually check those sex offenders and see what they're doing. But what we have done in the past is we drop it down, but like during Halloween they could go out and set the vehicles outside the house to make sure that, you know, no children are going up to the sex offender's house, minor stuff like that where they didn't have to do any contact with people. The cadets do go out and work parks, go up and down the trails to check on anybody out there. We did have them checking on them, understood that we had some indigents living off of Fox River, so they were making checks up and down there, make sure, you know, see if anybody was living up on there. They didn't see anybody, but that's some of the stuff they do. Majority of the thing they're doing right now is basically just writing parking tickets. Unfortunately, I'm only down to two cadets right now. The reason being is it depends on what the academy has. If they got a full complement of people and they put in for application to become a cadet, that's what I get them. Right now, they're kind of low. They didn't really have a big classes right now, so I've only got two working, and I just got an application for one more. So that's partially the problem with doing the overnight parking, which is when I first, I don't know, I think Brad gave you how much they've made over the years, roughly around $2,000 a year. This year it's not going to be that well with just two cadets. The other thing I do is, of course, is supervise the crossing guards, which I believe I've actually improved the crossing guards, especially for safety. We've got more signs out to help try to keep people from slow down around the crossing guards area. We've got badges now so that they're official as a crossing guard. New equipment, thing as it comes up, signs, new vests, anything they need to help them out to keep them safe and the residents and the children safe. I've increased crossing guards from, I think when we got here, it was like 11, we're up to like 20 right now. Reason being, I have that many. Most of these are substitutes. Fill in for all those that, you know, so if they go on vacation, which a lot of them do, let them take off, so it helps fill in. For that. So these aren't full-time. These are just substitutes, the majority of substitutes. Though I do have 10 full-time, but that's because one might work in the morning, and that's it, and I have another one work at night. Just depends. That's what we've got 10. We have worked with the safe school program, figure out where we need crossing guards. We did shut down one corner that wasn't needed up on Webster and Coolidge. Figured out they only had one child that was crossing there. And talked to the parent, they said that was no problem. So that's why we dropped that. So we do this year, let me check out and see if we've got any places where we need the guards or don't need the guards. Recently, I just took over supervision of the animal patrol, which is Monica Hoff, which she's doing an outstanding job. She's taking that program. She works for Howard, Bellevue, a couple other places, plus us, which... Well, we used to have it. It has saved us money. I don't have anything in front of me to tell you how much it is, but she came up with programs to help save us money, especially with the kittens, people picking up cats and everything. Now we take them over to Bellevue. It saves us like $50 a cat because we do have to pay for any time an animal's picked up and taken down to the animal control. So she worked with us to get that taken care of. She also started the CART program, which is Citizens Animal Response Team, which, because she's on one person, if she can't make it over here, there's people in the neighborhoods that they come take care of the animals for her, and which saves us money again, because that person, the miles, we pay for the miles, so instead of her driving from Howard here and going back and driving around, she gets somebody close by to come in here and take care of the animals for this. That helps us at the back. So most of my job here basically is just enforcement of ordinances. That's what I do. I ride around a lot. Biggest thing right now, like I said, the brush, bulk items. That's the main thing because the guys are doing spring cleanup, so they don't have time to pick up brush. I talk to residents about it. Some of them understand, some of them don't. And I know the biggest complaint I've had is about the calendar. It's kind of confusing to them, or some of them just forget. And another thing is a lot of the elderly, the people are getting elderly in the neighborhood, especially this end of town, and happens, children will come in from out of town, cut brush and stuff. Of course, we don't charge these people. We find out about it. We take care of, you know, we try to take care of everybody. And Some of the other things, of course, during summer is horses grass. It's a big thing, which I think actually this year I had less grass complaints since I started. It seemed to have gone down. Complaints, I actually get more calls now than I used to asking for help. I get some people that are happy with what I do. I get some people that aren't so happy with what I do, so I get calls from both of them. And Brad, can you tell, I actually had a person come up, called him, gave me an attaboy for helping her out clean up the yard next to hers that was really trashed. And that's the other thing, you know, if I look at houses like Trusty Green's, of course, it has a house next to her, which I've been working on years trying to help her, you know, keep that cleaned up as you know, as much as we can. And that's part of the job, too, is to make sure that people keep their houses neat and clean so their neighbors don't have problems with them. It's not always an easy thing, and it's not always gets done. It's, you know, still have the laws and certain laws that we have to obey. So what I try to do the best I can as far as getting everybody to keep their yards and the houses maintained. And that's the majority of what I do right now.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Any questions from Mark concerning this presentation? Trustee Rastin.
Regarding the cadet program, Mark, so the program at NWTC is way down by, because I know I heard we had 20 cadets at one point working for Alloy.
At one time we had, that was the most I ever had, and I won't do it again. It was a little bit too many. The problem is, not being here all the time, it's hard for me to train them or stay with them. So it's better if I drop it back down to a little bit more manageable, five or six. I'm going to try to go back down to five or six. So I can't spend a lot of time with them. They have to come in when they can come in because they only put in 2 hours a week, but it depends on when they have off, you know, because they do go to school, work, and social life, and then try to volunteer because it's a complete volunteer program. You know, we don't pay them or anything. So they do get college education for, I mean, college credits for this, three credits towards their degree. And depending, I just talked to Flannery a couple weeks ago, and it depends not just how many they have, but also the quality. Because when they do the interviews, if they don't pass the interview, we don't have them. There's no sense having somebody that's not going to do a good job for us.
Okay. Any other questions, Mark? Trustee Green.
I'm just going to make a comment. Mark takes care of trying to keep on track all of our problem properties. We all know who quite a few of them are. You know, there's two of them located on my street. We've got them spattered throughout the village, but they require quite a bit of Mark's time to stay on top of those. It is amazing how things will change and then just go back and then you have to start again. It just, so I don't know. I can't quantify that time, but that's a lot of time tied up. And what's very sad is over the years it's been the exact same properties again and again and again. So thank you for all you do with that.
On that, one of the things that happens is we'll consider properties. After I have to write somebody a letter three times, I consider them a nuisance. To me, they're grown-ups. I shouldn't have to tell them, like, my son three times to do something. So I write somebody three times, I consider them a nuisance problem. They get a ticket next time. Actually, this year I've written more citations, I think, than I have before. I don't have it on top yet until the end of the year. But and some of them are repeat offenders. And
two of them Greens on our street.
We're talking about one of those who I got court with on the night. But some of them are just repeat offenders that we have. But again, after three times I tell somebody not to do anything, I just write them a ticket. So.
As you should. Maybe the second time something would be fine. Any other questions, Mark? Mr. Roberts, thank you for the presentation.
Brad. Just a couple things to follow up on. The reason I asked Mark to come in is it was part of the discussion during the budget process as far as a little more understanding as far as what the code enforcement officer does, and then it was also an opportunity for Mark to explain everything that he does do, and are there other areas of focus that you would so choose Mark to concentrate on? As he indicated when it started, it was more so dealing with we were making some major changes in the amount of the frequency of our brush pickup. So what we were finding is there was a lot of residents that were putting brush up, and I believe putting brush out that will stay there for up to a month. And then, so when all those changes took place, that was one of the focuses of Mark, or the code enforcement officer, to educate the public as far as what the new schedule would be for brush pickup, leaves, grass, those sort of things. So just keep in mind if there are other areas that you wish for Mark to focus on, because this has been driven by board's direction in the past, and whether or not you want to make any changes, please let us know.
All right. Any board comment to that? Mr. Rapper.
Along those lines, in your discussion about the cadet program and our interest in continuing what, you know, the neighborhood association movement and all of that, would be a good opportunity to use cadets, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So we could, we had cadets trained in the neighborhood association or neighborhood watch categories, they could almost do that themselves, right?
They could. Actually, they do. They have been helping Rick out with the neighborhood watch as far as getting the flyers out and doing things like that. They do building. They do the home checks and other things like that. They were originally doing a lot of code enforcement, but I backed them off a bit because I haven't been able to really train them, and it's more of a problem getting letters out, having them send letters other than me. They do identify things and let me know about it, but that would be something else they could actually work on. And they do special events. They've done the Bellin Run. They've helped Heritage Hill out anytime that Heritage Hill's asked, had a special event. Anybody asked to have them help, and yeah, that's what they're here for.
So they were involved in more code enforcement in prior years?
When they first started, they were completely involved in it. The problem was it was trying to keep track of what they were doing and what I was doing, especially for like public works when they were following up on stuff. Didn't really have a program for them to work. I didn't have anything on a computer for them to work on where they could write anything down. It was just handwritten stuff, and I wasn't here, so the lapse of me not being here, then when I finally got it was like too late. It just got confusing, so we just kind of dropped them off of it. Plus, got a lot of complaints. Unfortunately, being young people and trying to be police officers, going to be police officers are very aggressive. So they were almost out measuring grass to see how high, as soon as it got close to 6 inches, or writing letters. So that was the other reason, because I really had time to sit them down and explain to them how it works.
Okay.
I just have a comment on that. I recall some of that, and there was some issues because they were just a little bit too aggressive and not aggressive in the aggressive state, but like 5 minutes. If you had that brush out there, you'd get in trouble in 5 minutes. I mean, it was just too much, and you say common sense, but they're being trained in this direction, and to put common sense against that at that point in time, I think that's difficult, because it's like right by the rules, and that's it.
They were vigorous.
They were vigorous. Not aggressive.
Result.
Diligent.
A little overzealous.
I do have one comment in terms of, you know, there's the brush issues and there's things of that nature, and then there's large campers and there's snowmobiles and there's trailers and yards and stuff. So on the third offense, or the third letter that is written and a citation that is written, is there, and this could be a question, I don't even expect you to know the answer off the top of your head, it's probably an accounting. Do those fines get paid? Because it seems to me like I see the same people for, like, I saw a camper on Green Avenue that was there the entire summer.
They do, anytime I've written a citation, they've gotten either paid or, well, they always have to come to court. It's mandatory. I don't just write a fine and pay it. They have to come to court and explain to the judge why they don't want to pay the ordinances.
Okay.
I let him make the decision on that. So he's the one that determines how much money he wants to make them pay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, any other board questions or comments? Trustee Dennis.
But also, I'd like to say, Mark gets a lot of people hammering on him because of little green stickers. But I want to say that in three instances, he has gone above and beyond the call of duty to correct, I can say the word too, create and correct some problems within my neighborhood, and one of which was a nuisance property, and whether it was coincidence or not, I'm giving you credit for it. There was a property that was in bad shape, and we talked about it, and literally within a day or two, it was, you know, back to being in pretty decent shape. Another one was an incident where there were some folks that had some out-of-town people help out with their brushwork, and it was a mistake on the part of the man who did the work, and could have been quite worse than what it was, and it was corrected and dealt with in a really professional, positive kind of way. And Mark doesn't get credit for that very often, so I'm just saying that I'd like to say thank you to him for that and for working with the people in the
It's not an easy job, you know. You're right. Some people are happy that you cleaned up the problem, but the problem people are the ones that are going to hammer at you. So thank you for the work that you do, and we'll offer guidance or direction from time to time as we see, you know, different needs, you know, materialize within the village. Anything else on this subject? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 9, update on the neighborhood watch. Must be pretty much the last time you get to do this, right?
I just was asked to bring an update for Neighborhood Watch. Over the last year plus, we've been really hammering to get some Neighborhood Watches active in Alloway. So this past summer, there was groups that are established that we got in touch with, one on Blackhawk Drive, and also on Beaufort Street, which had a group for a long time. Recently had a meeting, which they hadn't had in a while. So we got that up and going again. There's also new watches that started on West St. Croix Circle and East St. Croix Circle. They kind of divided the circle into two groups. And then also on, I always can't pronounce this, Rodrigue Calais, Clay Court, Corona Hoffman, Clay. They also started a group. The block captain of that group had been involved in neighborhood watch in the past, but they're had some turnover in the neighborhood and whatnot, so there's kind of restarting things. So those are our 5 groups I'm aware of right now that I've been in touch with. I'm also in touch with residents on Garland Street. I think we'll see something there in the near future, and also on South Van Buren right now.
Excellent.
And I have materials available for anybody who may be interested to get some things started in their neighborhood.
That's good news that we're reinvigorating some of those. Because the plan is to, if we reinvigorate some of the neighborhood watches, that'd be a natural feed into neighborhood associations, you know, which would have a different function and different purpose, you know, more social, more historical, you know. I'm happy to see that. Any board comments? Trustee Harris.
Will you be able to help transition your future replacement in terms of understanding what conversations have been had, where you've had some conversation about future opportunities? I don't know how much you'll be available to help whoever turns out to be your replacement.
I would expect that I'll spend several days with whoever is my replacement, showing them what I currently have going on here and what I'm dealing with on a daily basis. I have on record in the office of everything I do, and I will be very available to for any questions or phone calls that come up.
Because I know you spent a lot of time on it. We've finally gotten some momentum. I don't want to lose that. So however you can help would be appreciated.
I'll still see exactly what I have that I've been keeping on record, and I will be available.
Thank you.
Any other board questions or comments?
Yes, I have a question in regard to working with the cadet people. Is it possible to have, and I know limited times and abilities and whatnot, but is it possible to have, and I don't know how much time they have to put in per their program requirements for the credits, but is it possible to have specific cadets work with specific neighborhoods on an ongoing basis during their time frame? Maybe that's something you already do.
What we did over the summer, I had a map up in Mark's office where the cadets report to, and I had kind of a generic flyer that I had made up. So we were picking areas that kind of made sense of, you know, maybe a dead-end court or somewhere where it makes sense to have a neighborhood watch form. So the cadets were helping me by getting out and putting flyers out in those neighborhoods. And, you know, on foot, and we did quite a few over summer. So.
Any other board questions or comments? Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Item number 10, adjournment. Motion to adjourn made by Trustee Dennis, seconded by Trustee Green. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, we stand adjourned.